on from where I left off last week, which is looking at this story of Caleb. We've moved on in the last week with 45 years. And you've not aged a day, so that's all. Since last week's story, it's moved on 45 years. We're going to continue to look at this story of Caleb. So just to recap from last week, if you remember, Caleb was one of the 12 spies who went out into the land to see, kind of have a look at and see what this land was like. He saw, and Caleb believed, like I said last week, actually, before he'd actually set off on his journey, Caleb actually believed that God would give them the land. It was already set in his heart that that's what would happen, and that's what he kind of believed as he set out there. He was a man of a different spirit, it says in Numbers 14:24. He had a different kind of spirit to him, he had a different attitude, he had a different mindset to many of the people, and to 10 of the people actually who he set out with on that journey. He actually had another one of a like mind, I suppose, in Joshua, who went on to lead the people of Israel after Moses had gone. But he was a man of a different spirit. Caleb and Joshua were overruled. As we know, the two kind of reports came back. Caleb and Joshua said, yeah, it's great, let's go into this land that God has given us. Even though there are obstacles there, even though there are real problems and difficulties, we believe that God will overcome those things and we will have victory in that and God will give us the land. But the rest, the other 10 said, oh, we've seen giants, we've seen great big fortified cities. We know that it will be impossible for us to go and beat these people, and therefore they kind of put this bad report around and the people went along with that. And Caleb and Joshua had to deal with the result of other people's choices. They had to deal with that. They had to deal with what happened next. Even though they'd come back with faith in their hearts, even though they'd come back and said, we can do this, they were overruled and they had to deal with the result of those choices. Israel remained in the wilderness, and as a result, Caleb remained in the wilderness. Too afraid to go back, too afraid to go forward, just going round and round and round in circles. That's an awful place to be, isn't it? Too afraid to go back, too afraid to go forward, just wandering round and round and round and round for 45 years. Imagine that, being stuck in a loop where you just don't seem to be able to get out of this loop, and it's just kind of unable to break this cycle. That's where the people of Israel found themselves. Like I said, too afraid to go back to Egypt, too afraid to go forward into the promised land, and so they just wandered round and round and round in circles. What an awful place to be. And that generation, bit by bit, died. That generation passed away in the wilderness without ever entering the promised land, without ever stepping foot into that place where God had promised them. That's an awful thing, isn't it? 45 years is a long time. So what has become of Caleb? Like I say, he has been stopped in some ways by other people's choices. He has been held back by what other people have said. How does that leave him? What is going on inside of his heart? How is he, does he kind of look back with anger? Well, we'll have a look. Here's a little quote from a man called Henry Nguyen. Every time there are losses, there are choices to be made. If you choose to live your losses as passages to anger, to blame, to hatred, to depression and resentment, or you can choose to let these losses be passages to something new, something wider, something deeper. It's very good, eh? Let me read it again. Every time there are losses, there are choices to be made. You choose to live your losses as passages to anger, blame, hatred, depression and resentment, or you choose to let these losses be passages to something new, something wider, and deeper. I remember Nicky Gumbel on that Alpha course telling a story about him playing squash with a good friend of his. This man was young, he was a young fella in his early 40s, good squash player. And as he was playing against Nicky Gumbel and playing squash there, he said this man played a backhand and just had a heart attack and died. And he said, I remember going out after that day, after that had happened, obviously very shocked, very upset, because he's one of his best friends. But he said, I remember going along the beach, walking along the beach, and saying to God, Lord, I'm still with you.
Yeah.
I'm still with you, Lord. Amen. And I'm going to choose you, whatever. And sometimes we have to do that, don't we, in a situation. Caleb in this situation, what is he going to do? Is he going to let this passage of time, is he going to let this not being able to enter into the promised land, is he going to let this thing become a great big stopping him? Is he going to let it become a passageway to anger, to blame, to hatred, to depression and resentment? He could have done, couldn't he? That could have been the way that he walked at this point, and he could have let that thing stop him. And it could have coloured and changed the rest of his life in that way. But actually what he does, and I think what we'll see in a second, is that he chooses to let these losses be a passage to something new, something wider, something deeper. Like I said last week, it was all in the preparation for Caleb and for others too. It was in the preparation. And even this is part of the changing and transforming of Caleb's life. Even this difficult circumstance. When I was in America, we hired a car. And I remember going across to the car place where they kind of said, and they said, can I have any of these cars along here? It was great, all these big cars. I was really tired and I'd just got off the plane, but the whole kind of great big long line of cars that I could choose from, there were some lovely cars. And if I'd have been kind of a bit less tired, I'd have loved that. I'd have been going along the line and seeing what was there. But because I was tired and I was a bit nervous about driving in America, I thought, my choice is very simple. I choose the smallest. And that is what I did. I chose the smallest car. And as I chose this smallest car, it was actually a good choice because this car was a lovely car. It was a Hyundai. And as I turned the radio, got in the car, turned the car on, it had a music channel playing through the radio. Z88.3 was a Christian music channel, actually. It was great. We had a lovely time listening to it. All the way around our holiday, we listened to this Z88.3. Yeah. Great Christian music, some lovely songs there. And the one that really stuck with me was a song by a group called Mercy Me. You might have come across Mercy Me. And Mercy Me sang a little song, and the little chorus of one of the songs, the chorus said this: I know you're able, and I know you can. Save through the darkness with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. And it really stuck with me, that song. I kind of still listen to it sometimes now. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. It's a choice, isn't it? Can you see? It was a choice that Caleb, at this particular point, had to make. Because, like I say, he was held back for 45 years. And 45 years is not a small amount of time. Can be a lifetime. So let's meet Caleb. 45 years on, probably a little greyer in the hair. Probably not quite as fit and strong as he was before, but quite fit and strong. So let's meet him, shall we? 45 years on from what was me looking at last year. Let's see how we find him today. Is he, well, he's aged a bit. And he's got more experience, I suppose, through those 45 years. Imagine, he's been walking around the desert with everybody else. He's been going round and round and round in circles. That's been his experience, along with everybody else. He could have been filled, like I said, with great disappointment and bitterness and anger, and he's now 85 years old. I'm not going to ask anybody to wave at me today who's getting on towards 85 years old, but it's a great story, isn't it, of God using somebody in their latter years. And here he is at 85 years old, Caleb, a great example to us. But no, look, he waited in faith. He waited for another day. He thought, you know, if another day comes, I'm going to be ready. What a great attitude to have. He took his first chance. He went in with faith. And now, if a second chance comes, he thinks, I'm going to take it with both hands still. That is great, isn't it? That takes some doing. I admire this man so much, because having walked around all that time, he could have easily let things get on top of him and let these things creep in, but no, he waited in faith. Let's just read Joshua 14 verse 6 together and read about this response that we get from Caleb. Now I've actually got my glasses somewhere, just twizzling them around. There they are, which is amazing in itself. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the heart of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he has said this to Moses. Well, Israel moved about in the wilderness, so here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out and battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the God of Israel wholeheartedly. What a great little passage of scripture, eh? What a great little kind of example that is to all of us, of somebody who believed God and waited for his second chance in faith over 45 years. Sometimes we have to wait, don't we? In faith for God's promises to come about. Sometimes there are waiting days. His daily experience was one of continued faith. "God has kept me alive, and I am stronger, as strong as ever, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Faith despite constraints." Faith despite constraints. You know, faith is often tested. Faith is often kind of, you know, there's kind of, it's tried, isn't it? Faith despite constraints. Here is a man who's walked around for 45 years in a desert. Here's a man who's 85 years old, wondering if his day will come. Faith despite constraints. All of us perhaps this morning face constraints of one thing or another. Face things that kind of could hold us back. Let me encourage you this morning. Hang on to God. Hold on to him. Trust in him. Even though these things are there and they're real, hold on to God, trust in him. Caleb receives. He was wholehearted in his following of God. This was Caleb's life and legacy, and he wouldn't allow cold-heartedness or half-heartedness to have a foothold. he stuck to his guns. He wouldn't allow his heart to become cold. And these things, these other things could have made his heart cold, couldn't they? He wouldn't allow half-heartedness as well. Ah, well, it's not going to happen, this. We'll just carry on and it'll be... It's easy again for these things to creep in, isn't it, and to take hold of us if we're not careful. But Caleb remained wholehearted. Go on, sir.
I think that very interesting that sometimes God gives us a promise and we think it's going to be a walkover. Mm-hmm. But it's not always, and usually isn't. And in his case, there was the thing about, you know, where the other guys, they just came back and said, oh, there are giants in the land. So they just made everybody afraid. And that doubt kept them, held them back for 45 years in the wilderness. And they just kept going round and round, stuck in the same position, literally, in the spirit, even though they were moving around. But they hadn't moved on because of that one fear or that doubt that held them back. Whereas with him, he was wholehearted. And so, but he knew, he said, there are giants in the land, and he didn't dispute that, and he acknowledged, but he said, I am able to drive them out. Because, you know, he knew, it was like David versus Goliath.
Yeah.
Because when he made that decision to fight the giant, he became a bigger giant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true.
In the spirit, so.
It's a choice, isn't it, that he made? It's a choice that he stuck to his guns. He didn't allow these things. They were real, they were there. They were in front of him. But he decided he was going to, that God was bigger. He kept his heart and his life free of anger, bitterness, disappointment, apathy, weariness, or lack of faith. He kept his heart free of anger, bitterness, disappointment, apathy, weariness, or lack of faith. And as it says there, we are keepers of our hearts. We are the ones who kind of make the choices in terms of our own hearts. We have to kind of decide, don't we, sometimes? And all of those things are kind of possible things that can come against us and kind of take a hold and take a foothold. And if we're not careful, they can get in there and they start to grow and become bigger and stronger and take more of a hold. So if you kind of recognise a little bit of any of those in your heart, come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I don't want these things to get hold of me. Because they can. Caleb didn't allow them to. And finally, this end bit of Joshua chapter 14, we see, don't we, that Caleb receives and he acted. Faith acts. Faith calls for action often. We often have to do something. The scripture is full of it. That faith calls for action.
I think that there's another very good point in that, is that sometimes patience is, it takes faith, right? But we give up quite easily. That's the human tendency. We sort of, you know, oh, it didn't work out. But often it's not because it wasn't going to work out, it's just because we didn't wait long enough or we didn't hang in there long enough.
That's right.
And that actually keeps you from getting, like Esau, he gave up, you know, when he came to, at the end of his day, he was tired, it says he was weary, and so all he was thinking about, I'm going to die. But he didn't really have any faith, so he gave up and he sold his birthright to Jacob as a result, he despised it. So,
that's right. Faith does that often ask.
Yeah.
There's a kind of sense of patience, there's a sense of waiting, there's a sense of keeping hold, there's a sense of hanging on, there's a sense of keeping going. All of these things are part of faith, actually. But there are also days when it kind of calls us to take action and to do something. So Peter at the Gate Beautiful, as he's walking along, he sees this man there who asks him for some money, and then obviously the Spirit speaks to him. And there's this little moment where he reaches down and says, you know, silver and gold I've not got, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk! As he there's an action point to it, and there's examples again and again and again of what actually faith in action, it results in something. And he received, it says, as faith acts, God acts. He had received a promise, hadn't he, that he would get this hill country. He'd held on to that all those years. He'd known what God had said to him. He believed it. He stuck with it. He hung on to it. And then when it actually came to the day, he acted. It was going to take driving giants out of the land. So he went and he thought, even at 85 years old, he thought, I'm going to go and I'm going to drive these giants out of this land. Not bad at 85, that is it. And as faith acts, God acts.
I think for me the biggest challenge is why the people never repented and said, we got it wrong. You know, you've gone on for 45 years. Won't you say, look, we got it wrong, let's do the right thing, you know?
Yeah, that's true, to me.
Yeah. Why didn't they say, well, sorry, Lord, we got it wrong?
That's true. Because we can.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, we can. So promises are given for a reason. And just to say, reflect on our story here. Reflect on what God is saying to you, perhaps. Just think about the way that Caleb held on and God used him still.
Once I heard somebody describe faith as an action of trust.
An action of trust, it's true, Dave.
Think about Abram.
Yeah.
He believed God and he counted it to him for righteousness. Yeah. But he didn't just believe what he said, he obeyed him.
Yeah, he did something about it. He acted in trust, yeah.
I think there was also another fight that Caleb faced, which was a daily fight. And what you talked about is that, you know, he didn't give in to that bitterness, that anger, but it was a daily decision for him. Because when he saw how hard it was, the people were suffering, and he could have said, well, you know what, I've been telling you guys, what's going to get it through your thick heads, you know? He could have said that, right? But he didn't say that. He could have condemned them, but he didn't. And he had greater faith that, you know what, maybe it was God's time coming later on, and he just had to hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just like that, you know? Yes. Even with Moses, like, when he tried to free the people by killing the Egyptian, it wasn't God's time, and it wasn't God's method, neither. And he had to be out there for 40 years in the wilderness, tending the sheep, learning patience, so that it was the right time for him, and he was properly prepared to do it the right way. But it was always God's will to free the people, but it wasn't the right way and the right time, so he had to be prepared for it. So maybe there was a preparation as well in the process. But he had to make that decision every day, not to give in to that, because he knew that if he did that, he wouldn't be wholehearted. Because either you go completely all out, or you sort of half-hearted, but then that's not going to work.
So lots of lessons, eh?
Yeah.
Been thinking about adventuring in faith. And kind of being adventurers and kind of being adventurous. That's maybe one of the things that came out. And here's a little story of somebody who adventured, who kept going, who never kind of stopped. Go on, John.
Yeah, I have something also. I was thinking, well, God let the old people, most of them except Caleb or one and two, they all had to just say they were wrong and God let them die out. The younger generation wanted to go forward. But in a lot of cases in life, God says, here's your promised land, it's got difficulties.
Yeah.
And we are like the old generation. At first we get it wrong, but then God allows us to change our mind and fight and go forward.
Yes.
That's the good news about this story. We can change our minds.
Yeah.
And there's that constant process, isn't there, that God does change our minds. We're transformed by the renewing, by the changing of your minds. And God can do that thing. So learn from that story of Caleb. Like I said, be adventurous, hold on to what God has given to you. Don't lose heart. Don't let anger and bitterness and all these other things take hold. You know, just trust in the Lord. It's the kind of story of Caleb. We'll have a look. I think Tony as well at some stage is going to look at another great man of faith, Abraham. And he'll take us through that little story of the adventure that he went through too. But we can learn, can't we, from these stories of these people who hung on and carried on going. So let's just pray this morning before we have our drink together. Lord, we just thank you for these stories, Lord, of people who, Lord, hung on to you, Lord, who trusted in you, Lord, whose minds were set on you, Lord, who chose, Lord, to follow you Even when there was great difficulties and things against them, Lord, still they believed, Lord, still they carried on and they received what was promised. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just stay around and have a drink this morning.